Thank you, Bruce. Technology is a wonderful thing when it works. Just have to oh well. We're going to have Sarah come up and share in a little bit. And that was that lesson you heard there was God telling Sarah and Abram that they would have, Sarah and Abraham, that they would have a child in their old age. And you heard Don say that age was a little bit different than what you might think of the age of childbearing. So we're going to hear some neat things. But I wanted to just share a little bit about the gospel lesson. I started out the service by sharing, and I put on Facebook, and you know, I just sent it out over the social media, "Oh, to always be like Mary." And when I picked this sermon, I thought it was kind of cool, you know, a play on words, "Oh, to always be Mary." And then it got changed to "be like Mary." And it was interesting because someone on LinkedIn sent me this long exhortation about how this is thought to be Mary Magdalene and how we don't want to be like Mary Magdalene. And I'm like, yes, we do, because Mary got forgiven. And she was there when Jesus died, and she was there when Jesus rose again. And we want to be like Mary, right? So, but today we want to, the point of the message was that we need Marthas. But where do we start in our relationship with the Lord? The problem with what Martha did here is not what she did. It's the motivation behind what she did. As a matter of fact, Martha was doing all the right things. From a Hebrew point of view, she was being hospitable, which in the Middle East was numero uno as far as what you were to do when someone came into your home. You were to provide for them. You were to make them welcome. You were to do all these things. This was very important. She was being a servant. She was being a faithful sister, faithful servant, faithful person with hospitality. She was faithful to Jewish law and custom. So what did she do wrong? I don't think Jesus would have said anything unless she hadn't come and complained. You understand what I mean? I don't think Jesus would have said anything because I think that Jesus only addressed it when she came and said, "Look at me and look at her and tell me who's right." It's really what she wanted to know. Isn't that? You know, it sounded really admirable what she said, you know, "Tell my sister I'm working so hard and she should help me." What she was really saying is, "Lord, I want kudos for what I'm doing. Tell me how well I'm doing." See, when you're in religion, it's all about what you do, right? Tell me how well I'm doing. I want a gold star. That's right. And yet, the funny thing is, Jesus addresses it in a very humble way. He says, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious about many things, but Mary has chosen something better." And in the ESV, it says, she has chosen a good portion, which means there's something here that she has that she's chosen. And she's chosen the better thing. These are all important. None of these things did he minimize. Did he say, you shouldn't be hospitable, you shouldn't serve people, you shouldn't provide? If we didn't have Marthas in the world, it would be terrible. You know this, right? We had, when I was growing up, we had these Lutheran Women's League circles, they called them. And we always had a Martha and a Mary circle. And the Mary circle were always the people that, let's do more Bible studies, let's pray, let's worship, let's do all those things. But when the poor pastor, whenever he needed something done, who do you think he went to? The Marthas. Because without the Marthas, you know, my grandma used to always say, and I don't know, it's not biblical, so, you know, don't get upset with me. She'd always say, "Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good." You tell what my grandma was, right? But she was a prayer warrior, okay? So just don't. But you could be so busy doing religion that you forget about the relationship. And what was better, what was the better portion was that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, which we have in the word of God, praying and spending time with him, conversing with him, asking him questions, listening to him. Some say Mary is Mary Magdalene, but I think it's the same Mary and Martha that were Lazarus' sisters in John 11. And I think that we give Martha too hard a time because it was Martha who said to Jesus, you know, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died because I know you are. It's the only time a person testifies to the truth that Jesus is the Messiah in John's gospel, other than the author. You know that? That's Martha's confession. That's how faithful Martha was. So sometimes give Martha a little bit hard time. But it's important not always to be like Mary, but to start there, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to start with the Lord's Supper, to start with God's word, and then to ask the question, okay, now where do we go from here? As saved people, as justified by grace through faith, as not being able to earn any salvation, what now as saved people do we do? What do we do? How do we live? And so it's going from religion, where we're trying to do things in order to please God, to relationship, which is we're doing things because God is pleased with us. And we want to do these things. We don't have to do them. We want to do them. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I invited our sister Sarah to come and share. So she's going to come up and share, right? Come and join me. I want you to know this is not easy for people to come up and share in front of even a loving group of people like you. So let's thank Sarah for coming up and being here with us today. Oh, hi. Okay. So I asked Sarah to come and share because I think Sarah's got a great testimony of what it means to move from religion to relationship. So she's going to share with us today.
Okay, I'm going to start from the beginning. My notes and stuff are up there, so you can follow along. Growing up, I realized after the fact that I grew up in a bubble. My parents had us in a private school until we went to high school. We had religion class every day. We went to chapel every Thursday. Every Sunday, we went to church. There was just no question. We prayed before every meal. We did everything like we were supposed to. We led very Christian lives, and I felt like I was doing everything, like I said, like I was supposed to. And looking back at it now, that was very Martha, very Martha-like, very very religion-based. That was pretty much the first 20 years of my life. I was in this bubble. The summer that I was 20, I came home from college to find out that my best friend was killed in a car accident. And I felt like that was when my bubble popped. I felt like I was angry, I was sad, I was confused. That was the first real life experience that I had. That was the first funeral I had been to, and I took it very, very hard. I was angry. I didn't understand why this would happen, why God would take my friend, why so many other friends of mine didn't lose their best friend, why my brother and sister didn't lose their best friend. It was very difficult for me. And again, I felt like I did everything that I was supposed to in life. I was doing everything by the book, and I really questioned why. And I, at that point, I started to fall away from God. I was very angry that he did this to me. 6 months later, I was back up at college. I was dating this guy, and I'd made it very clear from the beginning that when I was in eighth grade for my confirmation, I had asked my parents for a true love waits ring, and I had promised my purity to God, and that was something that I had held very dear to me. Unfortunately, several months into this relationship, my partner at the time decided that was not a value of his. And without going into too much detail with kids here, that was something that was taken from me. And I, again, was very angry. I did not understand why I did everything by the book. I went to church every Sunday. I prayed. I had all of this religion class, and I could recite every Bible verse. And that was something that I was left devastated. I felt like I was heartbroken. I felt ashamed, and my friends told me I didn't really even leave my room that year in college. That was unfortunately my first experience in the emergency room from somebody. And again, that was extremely difficult for me. And I fell away, and I didn't understand why that would be happening to me. So kind of fast forward a few years, my now ex-husband, most of you know, Eric. Eric and I started dating. We dated for 4 years. Then we got married, and I felt like, you know, we did everything that we were supposed to do. We were friends for a couple years. We dated for 4 years. He asked my dad for his blessing. We got married. Then we bought a house. We didn't live with each other before we were married. We did everything right. And in college, I was diagnosed with PCOS, which makes it very difficult to have a child. And I didn't know the complications in the beginning, that would be something that would be a hindrance in our marriage. And I remember starting to reach out to people, and I reached out to Ellen and Ellen Johnson, and she recommended a doctor at U of M. And when I went to see him, he told me that there was a free study going on and to help people who have PCOS to try to get pregnant. And so after being in that study for several months, you get 5 cycles to be in the study, and again, we weren't having any success. The doctors at first even kicked us out of the study because we had a less than 1% chance of ever having a child. And they said if we had one chance, it would be one time in 3 years. And if that happened, we would not have any more kids. And they even told us to start looking at either in vitro or adoption because our chances are so slim. We persisted. We got back into the study without really any results. I remember the week of Christmas was our last week in the study, and any time a friend or a family member told me they were pregnant, I was happy for them, but I also felt like my heart was breaking again because I felt like I did everything right. I didn't live with my husband before we got married. We didn't, you know, we followed everything like we were supposed to. Very, you know, very Martha-like, you know, just we followed all the rules. And then I felt like we were being punished, or at least I felt like I was. And at night, I would go into the nursery that we had painted, and I would sit in there, and I would cry. And I just couldn't understand why I couldn't have a baby of my own, because God knew that this was something that I had always wanted, and I didn't understand why he wouldn't let me have this. So over Christmas, all my nieces were there, and I actually felt at peace, and it was kind of a weird feeling, and I didn't understand, and I didn't really think too much about it. The next day, the 26th, I woke up in the middle of the night to use the restroom, and things were different, and I just remember praying and saying, God, I can't do this by myself anymore. I need your help. I need you to hold my hand. This is something that I really want, but I can't do it. And I felt like this was the start of moving from religion to relationship, where I finally started to let go of that control. And in the next morning, I woke up, and I wasn't feeling well. I didn't feel good at all. And I ended up talking to one of my girlfriends on the phone, and she convinced me to take a pregnancy test, and I got a positive. And it was an amazing feeling. And I just felt like it was a miracle that the doctor said that this wouldn't happen. And as soon as I gave things over to God, I started to see what his plan was for me. So then kind of moving forward, some of you know a little bit about what was going on with me and Eric. So actually 5 years ago yesterday, everything, our world's kind of collided and kind of blew up. And some of you were here when that happened and remember when Eric was in a car accident and he was in the hospital for a couple weeks. I didn't know when we were dealing with all of the infertility issues that Eric had turned to gambling and drinking. And he did a very good job of hiding it from me by using his 401k. And so I had no idea that this was going on until the night where he realized we literally had nothing left. We hadn't made our mortgage payment that month. There was no car insurance on the cars. We had just dollars in our bank account. I was a very trusting person. He told me there was money there, and I didn't think twice. I was ecstatic that we were having this baby, and that's really where my mind was at the time. The night that Eric came home late from work, he was a manager at Kroger, so he worked late sometimes. He came home and things were different. He was sad. He seemed depressed. I didn't really know what was going on. And unfortunately, that night, he hurt me really bad. And I know a lot of you don't know this, but it was his intention that night was actually a murder-suicide. And he no longer could deal with what he had done and hurt me to the point that I ended up in the emergency room. And then he also went and tried to end it for himself, and he ended up also in a different hospital, an emergency room. And that night, I remember at one point before I ended up in the hospital, laying there thinking that this was it, this was the end. And I knew that if I didn't get up, I knew that if I didn't get up, that I was going to die. And I knew that I wanted this baby so bad that if I died, she would die. And then I thought about my dad, and I knew that my dad is a worrier, and he wouldn't hear from me for a couple days, and he would come over and find me, and he would never get over that. And I knew that that would destroy him. And while I was laying there, I prayed, and all I said was, "Dear God, please don't let me die." And at that moment, everything changed. Eric backed away from me. Things were calm. I was able to get up and call 911 and distance myself from him before he ended up leaving to go. He intentionally crashed his vehicle that night, and he miraculously walked away from that as well. He ended up driving on 96 and crashing his car into the embankment under the bridge, and totaled his car to the point that the jumper cables in the back were no longer usable. All the windows were blown out, and he walked away. He walked up to the overpass and then jumped off into traffic below, and ended up having some back problems, but again, he didn't break a bone, and he was in the hospital for a few weeks, and we, you know, and I thought, okay, like, what's next? Like, for better or for worse, we got to figure this out. The first thing I said to him when I saw him a few days later was that I forgive you, and I thought we were going to be able to work through things. Pastor was there. Jim Ross came. We worked with a lot of people from church. We've had interventions for Eric, and the denial, the addictions continued, a lot of threatening behaviors. We stayed together for a year after that. I had a bag packed, and some nights would sneak out because I felt unsafe. It was a very hard year for me. And one night he came home, and I could tell that if I didn't leave that night, that might be my last chance to go. So I ended up leaving, and not knowing at the time that I was actually pregnant with Isabella. And through all of the stress, through all of the PCOS, through all of everything, I had started a new job that year. I was in my last year of my grad classes, that here comes Bella. And so we have, the three of us have been on our own since. And I know there's been a lot of people from church that have supported us either through prayer, financially, meals for when I had the girls, and I can't thank you enough for being there. And I feel like through all of this, I didn't realize things when I was going through them, but looking back at it, I can start to see how everything kind of laid, like, just the ground was just laid for me. And I realized, had I extended my hand and given over control sooner, how different things could have been. And I, in a way, I'm glad that they're not, because it's brought me to where I am today. But knowing once I was able to either ask God for help or turn things over completely, that's when I've seen amazing changes in my life, primarily, obviously, with being pregnant with Gianna and then being able to leave my house that night when I really needed to. And both times where I just said, God, help me, I can't do this, and I completely just turned over control, that's when I immediately saw him step in and take over and show me what he wanted for my life. I used to worry a lot. I've gotten to the point now sometimes I lose my cell phone in my house, and that is an amazing feeling that I don't feel like I have to have it tucked in my pocket or hiding somewhere that I have access to. It took me 4 years to sleep with the lights off. After that, I just started sleeping with them off last summer. Through all of this, I have received full custody of the girls. Our divorce was final at the end of 2014, and I have since gone back, and Eric's rights have now been terminated from the girls. So he has, due to the severity of our situation, he no longer is able to see them, have any contact with them at all. So he is no longer legally their father. And this is something that Gianna has really, really struggled with. She asks about him every day. She doesn't understand why he's not here anymore. So if I could ask for prayer requests, it would be for Gianna to have peace in her life and to be able to forgive him and hopefully someday understand why he's not here and that it has nothing to do with her. But again, going through all of this, I'm surprised at myself sometimes that when I look back and I realize, especially over the last 5 years, my faith hasn't wavered at all. It was just, okay, God, let's what's next? And let's just get through this. And I ended up, Eric and I, we were still talking. I ended up selling my house not too far from here. So Eric didn't have to work, so he could go to rehab. Unfortunately, a few weeks later, he got kicked out for breaking the rules. And a large group of you came and helped move me to a house that I'm renting now in Saline. The address is court protected, so Eric can't find us. But I feel that even going into that home, just the amount of blessings that the church family here has brought, and I hadn't felt at home in a long time, and I feel like I'm at home and at peace there. And throughout this whole process, I worried a lot. I was always worrying about what's going to happen when he comes home. I would wait in the window, and I would never know if he would come home and something would happen. And now I've gotten to that point where things may come up either at work or with friends or family, and it doesn't even seem to really faze me as much anymore because it's like I don't have to do this by myself. And it got to the point where I remember people telling me to look at God as your spouse, having him be that first person that you go to. And I never understood that because I had the background of religion, not the relationship. And throughout this, I started to find myself turning to God. And anytime something stressful would happen at work, I would pray. Anytime something really good happened, I would thank him. I would start to really look at the blessings that I had in my life instead of things that went wrong or why did this happen to me. And I think that has been the biggest growth that I've seen in myself is moving from that religion, that Martha, to now moving towards that relationship like Mary and really understanding if I just let go and let God have control, that I don't have to do this by myself. And then I don't have to worry about tomorrow because things will work out and God will put people in your lives that will help pass on his blessings. And that has just been a huge relief, and I've just felt really at peace to the point that I've even started to see things with my girls. The other day I ended up overhearing Gianna and Bella talking, and Bella told Gianna that she'll be three in a couple weeks, and she told Gianna that Jesus is her daddy. And that was a pretty amazing thing to hear her say because she doesn't know Eric. She hasn't seen him since she was 9 weeks old, so she doesn't know. And then last night, her and I were snuggling in bed, and she told me that Jesus is in her heart, and he tells her that he loves her. So it's just been an amazing transformation from the way I grew up with religion and being in my bubble to now seeing that relationship and even the relationship starting with Bella, who's not even three yet. So it's just been an amazing an amazing thing. And I thank you again for everybody for being a part of this and who have helped in one way or another. And I just ask that for continued prayers for our family, but especially for Gianna, who's really struggling with knowing who her dad is.
Thank you, Sarah. You see why I thought it would be great testimony. My prayer is that we all be encouraged. When we have that tendency towards religion where we want to kind of do it on our own and say, God, you come and help me, but I got it. I'm in control. To get to the point where we let go and let God and see the amazing things that he can do, that he has done, is doing, and will do in all of us. So thank you, Sarah, for sharing with us today. I know it took a lot, and thank you for reminding us of the importance from moving from religion to relationship. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for Sarah's faithfulness through this whole experience. Lord, I know we walked in and it's hard to imagine this world without Gianna and Bella. Lord, thank you for these gifts. Thank you, Lord, that you do move us from religion to relationship. If we're fixing our eyes on you, you want us to grow in that relationship with you. You want us to know that you're there for us and you have your arms around us and you are our daddy. You're our daddy. So Lord, bless each and every one of us with this wonderful relationship that you so freely offer to us. Help us to overcome our desire to be Martha and to control everything, and help us to be Mary. Help us to listen to your word, to fix our eyes on you and to walk with you each and every day. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.